You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in to Dana and Parks. Woohoo! It is Thursday, day four. We are almost to Friday, people. We're almost to Friday. We have several interviews lined up in the next however long that we are doing this with Daniel and Sam and myself. And one of the interviews we are trying to get, we just talked about this out in the newsroom, when Jordan took the pitch, did you realize in the World Cup, for the second time in history, a Kansan was playing? And not just a Kansan, a graduate from Blue Valley.
Heyo!
Now,
hometown kid.
I'm sure he's busy and has got things soccer-ish going on, but we are going to effort having him call into the program. Next match, you said, Dan, is against Algeria on Tuesday.
Monday, I think.
Or Monday.
Is. Yeah.
Which is
Jordan.
Interesting because I'm going to want to root for the Blue Valley kid.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, because of the whole Lawrence thing, we're sort of all Team Algeria, right?
Yeah.
I am. Like, did you see they did, Stan Hurd did a crop mural for Algeria in Lawrence?
A giant flag.
Oh, my
God. It is
God,
incredible.
It is gorgeous.
Made it on to Good Morning America.
One of the interviews we are lining up.
Yeah.
We have an award-winning journalist coming on to the program tomorrow before Festivus Friday. And I don't want to give away too much, but it's an important story that we've been following for a very long time. And it's someone very close to me. And I cannot wait to share that with you. And then today, I recoiled at the news that the spawn of Satan has asked Governor Laura Kelly for clemency.
The spawn of Satan, you say?
I mean, wow, the nerve.
Well, it's available.
That convicted serial killer John Robinson is asking, wait for it, for clemency. And I love Governor Laura Kelly so much. I wish we could keep her forever. She raised not one but two gigantic middle fingers to that request. And the statement doesn't really say she's flipping him off, but just imagine the governor with two gigantic middle fingers up in the air, because that's how much I love her. And this is her comment, and then we'll get to more on our guest here in just a minute. She writes, Kansas reinstated the death penalty in 1994, and it remains the law today. The state constitution vests the governor with the ability to commute sentences following a statutory mandated process. As the existence of a credible claim of innocence or evidence of manifest injustice are absent in his request.
You don't say.
I have therefore denied John Robinson's request to commute his death sentence. And I will remind you, as one of the most evil men and stories and cases in our collective town's history, they still don't know what happened to so many of those women. They still don't know the location of the remains of some of those women.
Never found them.
Please never forget that he kidnapped a baby from one of those victims and then passed it off to his brother in a scam adoption. So there is now a young woman living somewhere around town whose mother was murdered and whose uncle murdered her mother, who has never been found. So in the 3 o'clock hour, if you were not around for that dark chapter in our history, we have one of the detectives coming in who was there for all of it. And I certainly remember that day. I remember that day in Lacine trying to figure out what was going on. I remember the barrels and evidence trucks and huge roadblocks, and we could not get to the property. But I think even then, Dan, if you were there, no one really understood the level of, oh my God.
Once you start peeling back the layers of the
what
onion.
They had found on that property, and really just the depths and the years of depravity involving so many women, right? And so we will unpeel that onion at 3 o'clock on the day his clemency has been really the gall of some of these people.
I do have to give credit to Governor Laura Kelly. Obviously, she is a professional in everything she does, especially running the state of Kansas.
Clemency.
But if I were the governor and got that request, it would have been a four-letter word followed by a two-letter word, and that second word is no. You wouldn't have gotten all that, the statute says, and the evidence of that is present. No, it just would have been,
It's so proper, isn't it,
I think you know that they wrote that through very gritted teeth. Because
have to be all official.
I don't remember who was in office when all of that went down. Would it have been to think back which governor that would have been? But there's not one of them that would look at that and go, yeah, you know what? I think he'd make one hell of a neighbor. Unbelievable, the gall of that convict. We have a Kansas City shooting suspect still at large after a second standoff.
Standoff with nothing.
Yeah, they used to call that an Operation 100. And when we would cover those, I would call it an Operation No One Is Inside, Please Can I Go Home? Because that's usually how these ended up.
Now, this is one heck of a story, and they do have
to have
the utmost caution when it comes to any tip that they get on where this guy might be. But
real quick, Sam, they are saying call 911 immediately. Yeah. Do not approach. This is one of the most dangerous men that has been on the loose in a while.
You can find his picture all over all of the news outlets here in the metro. It was a rolling gun battle, four shot, I think, total.
Yep.
One is now dead. They thought he was in a house in Independence. He set that house on fire. They had to wait until the fire crews could get that under control to go in and find out that he wasn't even there. They then got a tip about a house in Kansas City, I believe. He wasn't there either. So now they're asking for the public's help, looking for this individual.
It makes me sick. One of the surviving victims, because he just started opening fire on the highway. It was I-70, I-670 at one point. One of the surviving victims was an Uber driver who was just trying to take fans to the World Cup match.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Unbelievable. And we will post his photo. We will post...
suspect's name, 22-year-old Oscar Sanchez Munoz. And he is believed to be armed and dangerous. It was five separate shootings. Excuse me.
Good God. And across, a fire.
Yep.
In one of the houses they were looking for him, the house caught fire.
Across Kansas City Tuesday
He also
night.
Has that ridiculous, I'm going to razor into some of my eyebrows so that everyone sees how cool I am.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things I noticed about his mugshot. So that if you do see him and you're thinking, like, you need to call 911, look for the poor choice of the razor to the eyebrow. That is one clue. And then run, because that is how dangerous this individual is. We have so much to get to on Dana and Parks. The John Robinson discussion will take place in the 3 o'clock hour with our retired detective who is coming in to facilitate that. And then this hour, I have a question. What would you do if you saw someone around town trying to dump their dog? Because it happened. Person was caught in the act.
No way.
Trying to dump off their dog at a park. And I'm going to tell you what the woman did. There are some people saying, well, you should have done this. We're surrounded by crazy people. We are surrounded by crazy people.
And there's so many great shelters in Kansas City.
That's what everybody said.
The dog in.
Why would this woman have not just surrendered the animal to a shelter?
Fosters all over town.
It's a heartbreaking case because she saw what happened. She saw the dog's reaction. 913-586-7798. What would you do? And she has a photo of the license plate. We'll talk about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Oh my God, this song haunts me. Just for a moment, I want you to take Taylor Swift out of this equation, because while I think she's one of the most brilliant gifts we've ever been gifted in the history of art, I know that some of you, you know, maybe aren't the hugest fans. But I wrote this last night on social. For all of my animal lovers, I want you to go find the piano version of I Knew It, I Knew You, which is the song that she has recorded for Toy Story 5.
Yeah, it's great.
And it is sung through the eyes of the toy Jessie, where the little girl who used to play with Jessie has now moved on to an electronic tablet. And the toys are sad. Where did our owner go? And one of our listeners reached out with a story that has shaped the way, for animal lovers, you are going to think about the lyrics to that haunting piano version of that song. Because if you think about your dog, not so much cat, because I've got both. If you think about your dog when you leave for work, think about what they're thinking when you're gone. And then think about the look on your face every time you return.
Yeah.
One of our listeners said, if you listen to it through that lens, it is the perfect song written about your dog.
Absolute pure joy, because when you leave, yes, they think you're never coming back. And when you come back, if it's been 20 minutes, if it's been 2 hours, they think it's been a lifetime and they are elated to see you.
The lyrics are, I remembered I loved you. You came back when it mattered. I saw you standing there in the light of the window, wearing that same smile. Man, it's been a while, but I knew it. I knew you. And when you read that through that lens, oh my gosh, it's so sad. Oh, the rivers I cried when we said goodbye, Sam. Did you hear that? I watched you drive around the bend for what I thought would be the last time I saw my friend.
Your puppy sitting in the window.
But you came back when it mattered, and I knew you. And it gives me chills, and it sort of changed the way I listened to that beautiful song. And if you're listening on podcast, I'm so sorry you can't hear it. Look up the piano version of I Knew It, I Knew You, because it is absolutely beautiful. And it leads into our very troubling next story. And I'm so glad a woman in Blue Springs posted this, that community page is really a great asset for those of you who live in and around Blue Springs, the community page on Facebook. And she writes, I am shaking. I am so ticked off right now. She has been reported to Jackson County Sheriffs, Park Rangers, and Animal Control in all caps. There's a photo of a pickup truck. And she writes, an older lady with all white gray hair in this pickup truck was roaming around Blue Springs Lake looking for a place to drop off her dog and leave it. My kids and I were looking for an area to hang out today, and we see this truck pulled over. There's a dog roaming around with a small little hot dog-shaped dog, mostly white with some tan spots, a brown collar with a little tag thing on it, but no actual tag with the name, and it was roaming around, shaking its tail. You could very clearly see the person in that truck was this dog's person. Where we had parked the first time, just this little restroom area. And then as we were about to pull out, we see the dog again trying to get back in the truck with its person. She proceeds to open the door like she's about to get the dog, so we start pulling out to leave. And as soon as we do and like turns the other way, she shuts the door and drives off without her dog.
Oh my.
The dog started running down the road, chasing after the truck with its tiny little legs. We immediately pulled back in, and my daughter starts chasing after the dog to try to grab the dog so we can make sure he's okay. The whole time, this lady is still driving away from her dog, which was clearly trying to get back into her truck. Then the woman sees that my daughter and a few other witnesses have watched this situation unfold. At that point, she decided to stop her truck and let her dog back in when she was halfway down the road. But she left her door cracked. So I followed her down the lakeway a little bit to make sure everything was okay. The whole time, she had never closed her door all the way. You could see the door was still cracked open, as if she just let the dog just long enough to get around the next hideaway so she could put the dog back outside. She took her first opportunity to duck off onto a gravel road, which is where I took this photo of the truck. I pulled up next to her and asked, do you need someone to take your dog? Is the dog okay? Is everything okay? and this woman acted like I was crazy. She had no idea what I was talking about. She said, my dog's been in the truck the entire time. Then the woman started flipping me off with all five of my kids in the car.
She knew she was caught.
It is not the case. It was very, very, very clear this woman was looking for a spot to abandon her dog. She then sped off, flipping me and my kids off. If anyone sees a tiny white dog roaming around the Blue Springs area today, it's because the woman waited and then abandoned it again. Yes, the dog was still in her truck when she sped off. And I ask you this, because I read some of the comments. All these people in Blue Springs knew exactly what it was they were witnessing. It is the saddest thing.
Yeah.
To actually see the dog's reaction chasing after that truck makes me cry.
Listening to you read that story, I feel like I just watched the last few scenes of Marley and
Me. It makes me want to cry. What do you do in that case? What would you have done? Because again, I repeat my comments from the last segment. People are crazy. This woman, clearly with the dog, is completely off her rocker to dump it in a public space. There were witnesses, and then she's flipping off this woman and her children. She's nuts. I don't think the safest thing for you would be to chase her down and demand that she hand over the dog that she keeps trying to abandon. Is that dog okay today? I don't know. I feel bad for the witnesses because they're wondering, like, what happened to this animal? And is it a crime? Is it a crime to dump your animal? We hear from you guys that live in rural parts of Kansas City all the time. Farmers. Because people dump their dogs all the time.
Far more prevalent than we would ever like to imagine. And the reality of it is disturbing. And if I were in that situation, just give me the dog. If you really don't want it and you're just going to go dump it off, give it to me.
I'll take it, make sure it's safely taken to a shelter where they can find a foster home.
Right. If I can't take it into my home, I will make sure this dog is loved, because you are quite literally ripping that dog's heart out of its chest by abandoning it. And you talk about, you know, we make the comment about humans, therapy for life. That dog would need therapy for life.
We have a huge rescue community here in town. I'd love to hear from you guys on this. 913-586-7798. We'll read some of the comments because people are saying, well, did you think about this or could you have done that?
Also from the text line,
woman's crazy.
I've gone to shelters all over the metro looking for a small dog. There are very few. Most of them are full of larger dogs.
913-586-7798. What would you do? And if you were out at Blue Springs when this happened, we would love to hear from you. 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks. So the question is, what would you do if you watch someone dumping a dog, which happened in Blue Springs, I believe it was yesterday afternoon. And one of the things people asked Sam was, and hindsight is 2020, so I don't know that this is fair. But one of the things I saw on the socials was when the dog was out of the truck and wagging its tail and kind of roaming around, and it looked like she was driving off, why not just keep the dog at that point? Why not let her? Because she saw there were witnesses, then she took the dog back. And people were saying, well, if you had just kept the dog at that point, you could have at least gotten it to a shelter.
Yeah.
But at the time, like, we're looking at this in hindsight, Sam. I think at the time you would be like, wait, what is she doing? Did that just happen? Maybe she's disabled. Like, I would have thought, like, you wouldn't think in a public space someone is just dumping off their pet.
And you don't even believe what your eyes are showing.
Exactly.
You think that you're in some, like, Twilight Zone dream. By the way, if you're trying to call in, thank you. We are efforting getting the phones fixed right now. It should be back up and running here in a minute. But we're getting a lot of messages on the text line. Some are saying that with the way that the shelters are overrun right now, that there are a lot of people who go in to surrender a dog for, and I am quoting the texter, these are not my words, for, quote, selfish reasons, meaning they got the dog as a puppy, it became a dog, they don't want to take care of it, any number of reasons, and they're getting turned away. Because if you have the ability to take care of the dog, why are you surrendering it?
Right.
That was kind of the story with Barb. We were not ready to get a dog when Barb came into our life. We had a friend who was friends with the person who was fostering Barb, And it was just getting to the point where that woman had too many dogs in her house.
Right.
She couldn't keep Barb forever.
Right.
And so it was a tough decision. We were living in an apartment. Barb's a high energy dog. Mary Beth and I talked about it. It was, you know, it came down to, are we going to be able to adequately care for this dog? And then we got the call that if she was not adopted in the next 2 weeks, she was no longer going to be Barb.
So you saved Barb.
And we immediately we were like, well, I guess we'll take her.
But you had the knowledge that she needed a home. And
yeah.
I feel like in that split second where something like this happens, and again, this woman was with her four or five children that were all flipped off by crazy McCuckoo. So I just don't, people were very supportive. They were like, this is horrible. And
fault the woman at all.
Keep in mind, authorities, if this is a matter for authorities, know exactly who this woman is because there's such a clear photo of the truck and of the license plate. And so I don't know, like, is it illegal, Sam? What was done? I mean, littering is illegal. And this was dumping a living four-legged furry friend.
Under Missouri law, abandoning a dog is illegal. It is considered animal neglect. Missouri Revised Statute 578.009. It's a Class C misdemeanor. It's a $750 fine.
Okay.
You abandon your dog, you get caught, pay $750, you're out. It's horrible to even talk about it like that or phrase it that way, but that's the way the law handles it. And I
think a $700 fine, but Sam, do you out the woman? Because to me, the bigger, the worse punishment and the bigger win with respect to education is shaming. Like, this is who the woman is. This is who did it.
You certainly have to make sure that she's never going to get a dog again. I mean, we need to know more about this story because there are circumstances where, you can't become homeless because the only type of housing that you can find doesn't welcome a dog.
Okay, so let's pretend for one moment that she is stricken with cancer, that she has lost her job, she can't afford food, and she has absolutely no way to read or reach out to anyone or Google anything because she doesn't have a phone or a computer.
Can't ask for help on Facebook.
No way to reach out to anyone to ask for help. Like, if assuming all of those things are true, okay, for 1 second, I still don't buy it. The humane thing to do, forget about responsibility. The humane thing to do is reach out to a shelter.
Well, and there's Facebook groups all over the place. If you find the right Facebook group and she were to post in this, I guarantee you there were any number of families that would be willing to take in an extra pet, whether it's for a month, 2 months, 6 months, while the shelter tries to find them a new home. Jamie Monticelli, she is doing the Lord's work with quite literally having a revolving door at her house for these foster dogs that need a place to stay and giving them a loving home. There are more people out there like that in Kansas City. And instead of, as you mentioned, taking a little bit of effort to try to give this dog a good place to stay, she just went the I'm going to dump it route. And how do you sleep at night?
I don't know. I don't know. Let's go to bats. Seriously, we're going to bats. There we go. My guest is here. Sorry. We have a Florida therapist who has discovered more than 50 bats in her office. Not funny. I'm not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a mental health counselor. She's going to need mental health help. A mental health counselor in Seminole County, Florida, discovered more than 50 bats in her office last Tuesday, forcing her to relocate due to the state's maternity season laws that protect bats. Yes, I just said maternity season. There is a maternity season for bats.
Well, you know, everybody's got to reproduce. And
quoting here from Chantal Abbas, I stopped counting around 50 bats. They were in the toilet. They were in the sink. I have little ballet flats I keep in my office. They were in my shoes.
Mm.
They were everywhere, quoting from the licensed mental health therapist. She has since moved her office across the street with a sign on her door notifying clients of the change. Our hands are tied as far as bats go, but the landlord did relocate me. Florida is home to 13 species of bats. And during maternity season, which, are you ready for this, runs from April 16th to August 14th. It is illegal to remove them, even if they are in your space. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, attempts to harm or harass bats with lights, sounds, or toxic substances are not allowed. The capture and relocation is prohibited and ineffective. So let me get this straight. You have to let Mother Nature do what Mother Nature's going to do, despite the fact that their droppings are incredibly toxic to humans.
Yes.
That is insanity, Dan. And well, I am an animal lover, and I know that bats eat the mosquitoes. That is insanity.
See, one of the problems is if some bats, say, get into your attic and you're like, oh, we got to do something, and say you seal it up. Well, the mama bats are out getting the mosquitoes, and the baby bats that can't fly yet are stuck inside the house, and now you've killed them all.
Right. I'm not saying that mass bat murder would make me feel good about myself, but I also think, like, if they're in my space, I should have some recourse to remove them.
Yeah.
Humanely.
They can be. You gotta get in touch with a bat removal expert.
I don't know that they can do it during maternity season.
They cannot do it during the maternity season.
So listen,
season.
You're basically stuck from April to August. Are you kidding me? And the damage they can do to your house. And I will remind you, bats carry rabies. And our friend Micah, and I'm gonna post something about this later today. He today is getting his 7th rabies vaccine. He tried to humanely release a raccoon, and it went really, really well right up until the point that it did not go well. And the raccoon did what wild animals do, bit him on the finger as he was trying to do a good, kind human being thing.
Mm-hmm. And then he found himself bent over an operating table getting shots in the butt.
It's literally going to be, Dan, it could be $2,500 to $5,000 for the series of shots that you need. And he has excellent health insurance.
So during the off season, it's good to ensure that your house is sealed so that this doesn't even become a problem. And one of the greatest things about bats, especially here in this area, they can eat about 1,000 mosquitoes an hour.
Oh, nice.
Just think about that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make me feel any better if they're in my house, Dan. I could just get, like, you know, the mosquito guy to come out and spray for mosquitoes.
Not like they're birds in your chimney.
No. Yeah. 913. That didn't end well either. 913. Hey, we put a cap on the chimney. Ain't happening this year. I ain't getting swallows in my chimney. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more on Dana and Park straight ahead. Stick with us. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. The phones are working again. And I just said to our engineer, without whom we would be in a loony bin right now, that it's nice to have the phones back. Because if we didn't get the phones back, Scott would come back from his recovery and you would have to check me into a mental institution, likely Minniger's in Texas, and it would be a lengthy inpatient stay.
Bringing out the big guns.
So thank you to our engineer for getting our phones working again, because I'm sure you're tired of hearing my voice, as am I.
It took about 60 seconds from my all caps email for him to walk into the studio.
All caps! Mm-hmm. We've got an all caps email from Dana. I want to read this story, and then I want to ask you to help some local businesses out before we get to the break and to our guest next hour. Kansas City riding high after World Cup begins to surpass expectations. One day after the world turned its attention to Kansas City, local leaders say the excitement surrounding the city's first World Cup match is already translating into tangible results. From packed streets downtown to the crowded fan zones, packed hotels, the mood is overwhelmingly positive.
But
this week, and I don't have a but yet. The but's going to come in just a minute. Everyone is saying the economic impact is apparent. So for everyone going, what's going on with the hotels? Let me tell you. Hotel bookings over the past 2 days are up 100% year to year. Flights arriving just from Argentina have increased by nearly 2,000%. Hotel bookings for all match days are up more than 30% year over year on average.
Oh, good.
Quoting here from Kathy Nelson, we have worked too hard on this to allow it to be a flop. It is cool now to sit here and see you excited, see our staff excited, see what we've known as a planning committee that the world is going to show up. And we are already approaching attendance projections, by the way. Now, here's the but. And it's a small but it's an important but. I read, a listener sent this to me today, and a small business owner of a coffee shop downtown posted a photo of an empty chair inside of her small business. And what she wrote was, I am not asking for sympathy. I am not asking for, you know, woe is me. That's not what this post is for. I just want to remind people that all of the local businesses ramped up staff because we knew these crowds were coming. What has happened in some cases, is that there's a fear that because the World Cup is downtown, people are saying, oh, hell, I'm not going downtown. The World Cup is here.
Right. Similar to what happened during the draft.
Bingo. Yeah. Not going down there. Remember all the businesses around the draft area that brought in all of this extra staff, ramped up everything because all the people, when they went to the draft, just stayed right there.
But are they wrong in that fear? I mean, if you are looking to go to a coffee shop and you think to yourself, okay, I can either go here and risk not finding a parking spot, not even getting a cup of coffee because I didn't find a parking spot. Or if I do find a parking spot, I'm going to have to walk a mile to get to the coffee shop.
Here's my third but or second but. I've got a third but coming up. This is the second but. We have another match Saturday, 7 p.m., Ecuador versus Curaçao. Then we have one the following Thursday and the following Saturday. Okay? And that's at like 6 p.m. and then 9 p.m. The only one we have really right in front of us is this Saturday night at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So there is nothing today or tonight or Friday or Saturday during the morning or the afternoon or Sunday through next Thursday where anyone should be thinking, well, I better not go down to the crossroads because the World Cup thing. It's business as usual. It's not like we've got a trillion people out in every business at all hours of the day.
While I completely agree with you, and logically that makes sense, we were told for the last 6 months that the city is going to be busting at its seams. I have a buddy who is a firefighter, and at their fire station, their chief was telling them to leave for work an hour and a half early because of the traffic influx due to the World Cup. This is the message that we pushed out because of the hype around it, which I love. And I was a curmudgeon about it, and I have since changed my tone because I experienced the energy, and it was awesome. But if you tell me for six straight months that I'm not going to be able to go anywhere in my town, when that time comes, I'm not going to try to go anywhere in my town.
What do you think, Dan? You're the one that lives down there.
In the West Bottoms. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, there's people everywhere. And the thing is, even though we don't have a match here today or every day, we still have watch parties everywhere
because
the World Cup is still underway.
But not to the point that you can't get anywhere, Dan.
No, of course not. Yeah, I mean, you can live your life and drive around. You might run into some things depending on where you go.
We need a happy middle is what I'm saying. I think the pendulum swung way over there.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have 1,000, which we do have a billion people. We do, and I love it. But I think we need to swing a little bit back in that if you're not around one of the match sites before the match, or if you're not around one of the training sites, you know, I think it's for the most part, you're going to be able to get to where you want to go.
I think the excitement of a city like this, Kansas City, my word, becoming a host city for the biggest sporting event on the planet, the excitement around that drove a lot of, oh my gosh, it's going to be wild and crazy everywhere every day for a month. And not fully understanding really of what it really is going to be like.
913-586-7798. 7798.
And we'll leave you. Our message to you is go out and support local
business.
Shops.
Bingo, period. End of story. I leave you with this. Because there's always an idiot in every segment of Dana and Parks. You ever run out of things to talk about? You ever run out of things to talk?
We are surrounded by
stupid people. No, we don't run out of stupid people. I'm coming out of our ears right now.
And we're not even in Florida.
Kansas City World Cup drone restrictions now lead to confiscations and criminal citations. And I hope they release names. Federal authorities have grounded 8 drones that entered restricted airspace around FIFA World Cup venues in Kansas City. A joint counter-drone operation intercepted 8 drones that flew into restricted airspace around Kansas City Stadium and the FIFA Fan Festival. The operation brought together air marshals, the FBI, and the Kansas City Police Department. Not only is flying drones in the fan zone or the World Cup zone illegal, it is dangerous, quoting here with the duh comment of the year from U.S. Attorney Matthew Price. Authorities also issued 2 misdemeanor violation notices. The FBI, this is my favorite sentence, the FBI confiscated all 8 drones and their controllers. One of the people that got caught also had outstanding warrants, so there's
Pro
that.
Pro tip, if there is a FIFA event going on, the Fan Fest, a game, really anything involving that 4-letter acronym, don't try to fly a drone over it. They gonna get you.
They gonna get you. FBI don't come quietly. 913-586-7798. When we get back, one of the worst, notorious, most evil human beings ever in the history of Kansas City criminal annals had the nerve to ask the governor for clemency. What? One of the detectives that was intimately involved in that case joins us on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.